There are several passages of Scripture that I wanted to read as supplemental to the sermon this evening. You can see from the bulletin that we had Ephesians 1, 1 through 14, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, which is the sermon text passage, the Lord's Prayer. What I'd like to do is read from Romans 8, which contains an important support passage. In the interest of time, I'll just mention to you that the Ephesians 1, 1 through 14 was selected because it shows the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the plan of redemption, and reminds us that the Father's eternal love for His people is the seed that moves His sending His Son into the world to reconcile them. The Son begotten of the Father, not made, eternal with the Father, one with the Father. And then the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, is sent to quicken and to make alive all those loved by the Father from eternity, all those given to the Son and for whom the Son came into the world to live and die, to be resurrected and to intercede on behalf of. All conduces in the plan of redemption. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all work together in perfect unity to save their people from their sins and to have them reconciled to them. That's an important part of theology, biblical truth, when it comes to the directions our Lord Jesus is giving us in this prayer, especially that portion we're going to be considering this evening. Our Father, when you pray, pray to our Father who art in heaven. The passage in Romans chapter 8, I'd like to begin at verse 12, and then I'd like to read a short passage from John 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. That verse 15 and 16 assures us that one of the most powerful and dynamic and clear evidences that God gives his people, that he gives to sinners who are looking to him, that they are, in fact, his children, that they've passed from death unto life, is this influence of the Holy Spirit prompting them, provoking them, enabling them to pray to their Father in heaven. Turn with me to John chapter 17. One of the remarkable portions of Scripture where the veil is pulled back. The Spirit of God enables those who have the privilege of holding God's Word in their hand to actually look into the communion that the Son of God has with His Father and to hear the words that He prays to His Father in heaven. And the whole prayer is worthy of our study, our contemplation, our meditation. But what we're interested in this evening is going to begin at verse 20. He's been praying for himself. He's been praying for his disciples. Now he's praying for all those given to him by the Father. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, The world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it. The love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. A remarkable picture of the intimate relationship that the Lord Jesus has with his Father in heaven, and the remarkable fact that those he is saving, who are being joined to him by faith, are being joined to the Father. That the intimacy and oneness that he has always enjoyed with the Father is to be their experience as well. There are few things more startling in the Word of God than the way this prayer opens and the direction which the Lord Jesus gives to his disciples and to us. Let's ask God to be with us in the few minutes that we're going to consider our passage in Matthew chapter 6. Father, we ask, and that falls from our lips so easily, Father, how we thank you for the door that was opened for us to call you Father, to know you as our Father. We thank you for the love that moved you to adopt us, for the love that moved you to send your Son into the world, that you might be both just and the justifier of those who had sinned against you. Nothing was farther from our deserving than to be children in your house. We were unworthy even to be servants in your house. By your love and eternal love, by your grace, by the passion, life, and death of our Savior, your Son, by the powerful working of your Holy Spirit, we have been made your children. And more than that, we have been made to be the betrothed of your Son. Fill us this evening with a new wonder and joy that we are entitled and encouraged, directed, and even commanded to address you as our Father. Give us great joy as we consider these things. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 is where we find our passage. We've read this before. It's a prayer that we normally pray on almost every Lord's Day. It serves, as we've already seen and as you've heard on many occasions, as a guide to direct us in prayer, but may also serve as a form of prayer in itself. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When you consider who we are, what we are, and what we deserve at God's hand, God the Creator, the Holy One who inhabits eternity, nothing is more remarkable than for the Lord Jesus to teach his disciples to approach the High and Lofty One as Father. There's a cordialness, there's an intimacy, there's a familiarity that's invoked by calling upon our God, the Sovereign Creator, as Father, as Papa, as Abba. If time were more at our disposal this evening, it would be important for us to consider that this ability to pray to our Father in heaven, to the true and living God as our Father, is created in us by the Holy Spirit. We saw that in Romans 8. I'd like you to turn with me in your Trinity hymnal to the 12th chapter of the Westminster Confession. One of the shortest chapters, chapter 12, on adoption. I'd like to commend this to you, as you may want to give more thought to what we're looking at this evening, addressing the High and Holy One as our Father. I'd like you to have a copy of the confession before you with scripture proofs, because it's a treasure trove of passages of scripture that anticipate the blessings that are going to come to the people of God in the fullness of time when His Son, the one promised to our first parents, comes and makes a full atonement for their sins and opens the door for all the world to have access, to be reconciled. Follow along as I read. It's page 855, chapter 12 of the Westminster Confession. All those that are justified, God vouchsafeth in and for His only Son, Jesus Christ, to make partakers of the grace of adoption, by which they are taken into the number and enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God, have His name put upon them, receive the spirit of adoption, have access to the throne of grace with boldness, are enabled to cry, Abba, Father, are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by Him as by a father, yet never cast off, but sealed to the day of redemption, and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting life. The original outline of my sermon involved going through those different points that come to us as the children of God. And our Lord Jesus doesn't want us to take these few words that go by so quickly when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, lightly. He wants them to rest upon us and to dwell in our hearts with full value and weight. Nothing is more remarkable than for you and I to call upon the name of the true and living God as our Father. We observe, as part of our responsibility, is what does it say? Our Lord Jesus, who is just in the few verses before, said how important it is when you pray to go into your closet alone and pray in secret to your Father, you singular, your Father in heaven, He who sees in secret. He's using here and directing us to pray with the collective pronoun, Our Father. Very, very important. One of the great miracles of redemption and of heaven is going to be how we all as individuals are fitted into the one bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to feel our unity in the Spirit, in the bonds of peace, obtained for us by the Lord Jesus now in this life, in our assemblies, in our fellowship with one another. And we feel that unity, particularly as kindred brethren of similar faith. And you've had the experience of being in a place far from home and a bumping into, either in a sanctuary or in your employment or schooling, bumping into a fellow believer. And you don't even know, you don't have to know, the church they go to. But the scent of Christ is on them. The love of Christ is in their heart. The knowledge of His Word exudes in their conversation and manner. And you very quickly find your heart welded to theirs and theirs to yours. And you feel a closeness that transcends familial love, love of family and friends. And no surprise, the Spirit who bears witness in our hearts that we're the children of God so that we have access to the Father also bears witness to our relationship with fellow believers. It's wonderful. It's a glorious thing. It's what we have in view when we talk about the Catholic or universal church. We don't know all the elect, but God does. They know, we know one another, though, by our love for Him, our experience of His love for us and the love for one another that it engenders within us. On other occasions, we've reminded ourselves and been reminded from Scripture how important it is in all the endeavors of our pilgrimage to focus on drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. All the heart desires we have to be closer to one another are answered by that other ambition, to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we do, we will irresistibly be drawn closer to other true believers, because all true believers are being drawn closer every day to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that influence of the grace of God in their hearts and lives, they're being drawn closer to each other. It's the great hope of Christian marriages. It's the great hope of parent-child relationships, where there can be great differences of temperament, behavior, ambition. But where the love of Christ is, there's unity and a oneness that transcends all the differences that we experience between us and is greater, you see, than our differences. And it's the one hope of a true ecumenicity. We never are directed by God's word to focus on loving each other apart from our loving God. The first and great commandment is to love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second flows out of that, is actually the effect of it, and serves it. We love one another because He first loved us. Because He first loved us collectively, we love one another. There's so much here. Let me pick just a few more things to focus our attention on. I think the startlingness of addressing the true and living God as our Father should always prompt us who are advanced, those who've walked with the Lord for many years, to be filled with new wonder. If we're on the younger side of our conversion experience, it should certainly prompt us, or for however long we've walked, professing to be the Lord's disciple, if we find ourselves entangled in sin, the intensity of relationship that's in view here by addressing God as our Father obligates us to examine ourselves. Am I living like a child of God? Am I living like one loved of the Father, one who loves Him and desires to draw near to Him? You can see how this is calculated to prompt self-examination if we're in sin. If our hands are defiled with things that God has forbidden, or we're failing to do the things that He's commanded, are drawing near to Him and crying, Abba, Father, obligates us to want to honor Him, to want to love Him, to want to please Him. So it's a huge means of grace that the Lord Jesus is providing here for His disciples and for us. Because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, when we pray to our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus isn't out of view. The Spirit of God isn't out of view. We may address them. We may thank the Spirit of God for His patience with us. We may beg the Spirit of God to be powerfully working in us, and we should. We may thank the Lord Jesus for all of His saving work, all of the sacrifice we're celebrating this evening in the Lord's Supper, the depths of which, the height of which, the magnitude of which you and I will never be able to comprehend. Those who go to hell will begin to understand what He suffered so that His people might be set free from the righteous indignation of God against their sins. It's one of the reasons why the smoke of the infernal place will always rise up. That isn't to fill our hearts with sorrow, for loved ones, for acquaintances, for friends who aren't in glory with us. It's to remind us what the Lord Jesus suffered. Not sure how much of a view we'll have of that, but it's one of the great wonders of Scripture that the smoke of hell, bearing witness to the torment of those who are not in heaven, reprobate angels, men, women who did not love God, who are strangers to grace, will go up forever. For those who are in glory, it is one of the perpetual reminders of what our Lord Jesus suffered. We wouldn't be in that place. You and I will never be able to get our arms around what he suffered. Thankfully, it's one of the great mercies of the gospel. Let me end there. I want to encourage you to savor every opportunity that you have. And for all of us, may a day not go by when our hearts aren't drawn out early and late and in between to commune with our Father in heaven. By the gospel love which he displayed in his Son, he's made himself to be our Father. By the gospel love that moved the Father and the Son to send the Holy Spirit in, quickening, reviving, regenerating, making alive his people. Spirit of adoption, moving his people to call upon their Creator as their Father, being reconciled to him by the blood of the Son. Great privileges. And we have much before us by way of instruction and encouragement in the Lord's Prayer, and as God enables us to consider it, we will. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opening address to yourself, which your Son, our Lord Jesus, gives to us. Our hearts are filled with wonder when we contemplate the plans you have for your people, for us, to be one with you as you've made us one with him. Forever. May the Holy Spirit take these words, build up the fire of right knowledge and a sincere love in our hearts to yourself. Draw us out for no other reason, not because we have loved ones who are sick, though we ought to pray for them, not because we have financial needs, though we ought to pray for that, not because of the so many reasons we pray for you, though all things may be laid before you, draw out our hearts to you as our Father in heaven, so that we have opportunity to express our love for you as a child draws near to a loving father, just to be near him, to enjoy his affection, to express their affection for him. So draw our hearts out to yourself. Grant us these covenant blessings, we ask, for the promotion of your glory, for the sealing and securing of our good, for the benefit of those with whom we live and move and have our being. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.